Father in heaven, we thank you again to know you care, Lord. We're needed people, no doubt about that. It's not long before we have good days, but we also have many good days interrupted with things, and we thank you for the series we've been studying. And I believe, Father, that there is a ground root here sometimes that God gives us information. If we just listen to it, it would help us in our life till we get home on the other side. And I pray you bless this morning as we open this precious book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, I want you to take your Bible and turn, first of all, Joshua chapter 1. Now, I'm going to go a couple other places, but this is where we're going to be at this morning in just a few minutes, in Joshua chapter 1. And I started this series a few weeks ago. We talked about the first Sunday on adversities, whose voice has your ear. The second Sunday, we talked about to count it all joy when we come to trials and temptations. A lot easier said than done. Then last Sunday, we talked about adversities. Are they a burden or are they a blessing in one's life? And by the way, they can be a blessing in the long run. A burden up front may be something that would be a blessing in the long run. And so today, I want to look a little bit further, and I want to read, first of all, from Exodus chapter 14, a couple of verses, in verse 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 4, you just hold where you're at, and Joshua will come in there in just a minute. And Moses said unto the people, now they're standing at the Red Sea, fixing to go across. They've been delivered from Egypt. The Egyptian armies have decided they're not going to let them loose now, go try to capture them again. They're coming from behind. In front of them is the Red Sea. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians, watch this, whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Isn't that amazing? Now, something catastrophic is fixing to happen here. And of course, we know it did. And he said, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, keep that in mind. Now, what I want you to notice is this. We may not have the identical same things that others have in life, but we'll have same things similar that where we need what they needed at that time. Our task may not be as big as others, but our task will be big enough for us that we need some help. And so when I read this, and you look in verse 16, and of course, he told him to lift up the rod and stretch out his hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go dry ground through the midst of it. Now, I also, before I get to Joshua 1, I want to also look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and read down about verse 7 through 14. And Paul's writing to Timothy, and he said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I wonder sometimes, when we know God hasn't given us that, why do we have it? You say, what do you mean, we? That's right, me. I have fear too, don't you? If you don't believe, you let a little storm come, start shaking your house, and it seems like it's going to leave the ground. I don't think you're going to shout hallelujah when that happens. Amen? We have a lot of things that fear us, but God lets us know in a split second, we might have fear, but God can bring peace. And he's letting us know that God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind, it should be settled by the things of God, and it comes from this book. But thou therefore, he said, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor for me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Isn't it interesting? One of the factors, he said, you may have to suffer for me, but I wonder how many of us have suffered in the last few weeks. How many of us have set aside a time to do something for God Almighty in turn what really cost us our time and cost us some flack or some type of problem? And the Apostle Paul laid this out. The biggest problem of suffering we have mainly just comes because we're living. But sometimes we need to suffer for the Lord, folks. And sometimes in God's will, if you do anything for God, you will suffer for him. And so will we, even the age of grace. So in our nation, we've been very fortunate not to suffer as much as some places. But in some places right today, if you go talking about Jesus Christ in a foreign field, they'd take your head off in a minute. Oh, yeah. So he goes on. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. And amazing, as Paul talks about, he always talking, it's not according to our works we get saved, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now watch that phrase, purpose and grace. And he said it was given to us before the world began. What is the purpose? The purpose is part of the plan that God determined before the world began. That's what that verse tells us. His plan and purpose is what he determined before the world began. And the latter part of that phrase said before the world began. But it is now manifested by appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, we know it's through Jesus Christ, but his body's death. Now, I hear people say, hey, see, that's a bunch of junk. You can look around and tell you today that he didn't abolish death. You just look at next week, you'll see a hearse going up down the road. You know what's, why a hearse goes up and down the road? Because dead people are in it. Well, if dead people are dead, how could he abolish grace? See how Satan tricks people. He's not, God's not talking about, he tells us all we're going to die physically. You know, man's born once to die. And it's pointing to the man to die. But he's talking about the results of death is different. Hey, you're talking about leaving this world and being with the Lord. That's a glorious thing. Now, I want to stay as long as I can. I hope I can serve God till I draw my last breath. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad to know when it's over with, I've got a better place to live. Now, you tell me what you want to, but that tells me God's abolished death for me in the sense of eternity. And so I understand that verse. But so people try to flack up, bring out phrases at the time, deny those things. Then he said, whereunto I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, for which this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believe and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which committed to thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now we go over, if you will, to Joshua, and this is where we'll be the rest of the day. The subject I have today is simply this. God gives us courage, ladies and gentlemen, for difficult tasks. Now, we're at the middle of the series, so I've just brought this in at this time because what we've already seen and what we've heard, I thought this week bases me. Just yesterday, I was thinking as I'm working on this message, in the last few weeks, we got about 12 people in our church that had some serious situations happen. And I'm talking about serious situation, different things for serious situation. And so there is a lot of adversities we're having to face. And many people may have them in here today and listen by radio and also upstream, Ustream that have it, but we don't even know what they are. But I guarantee you, if you're alive and your heart's pumping, you're going to have some adversities. And if you're saved and Satan can get to stop you any way he can, he will by adversities. And so I know this, God gives us courage for difficult tasks. Now, the word courage is only found about 18 times in the Old Testament. And it, most of the time, it's like be strong and of good courage. But it's only found one time in the New Testament. But even though it's not mentioned by name, it is insinuated a number of times in Actions. The only time we find in the New Testament you have the word courage is found in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 15. The Apostle Paul has been made a prisoner out. He headed towards Rome. They had shipwreck. And in turn, he has left from where he was at, Puteoli, in the place that he was at, and headed towards Rome. And as he goes towards Rome, they come to a place that they call Appii Formia and their three taverns, whom Paul, in verse 15, says, saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, he's a prisoner headed to Rome, and when they hear at Rome, he's coming, some Christians there, they meet him at this particular place, and it said, Paul took courage and in this thing. Not only that, Paul, he thanked God and he took courage that these people come not to criticize him, but to build him up and welcome him into the city of Rome. Now, when I think about this, I know courage is an important thing in our life, but it's very easy to have fear. So easy. Courage is the definition, the quality of being fearless or brave, the attitude of facing danger, difficult, and pain. Instead of withdrawing from it, you're not afraid to walk into it, one thing, or follow it, or work through it, because you know the Lord is with you. And courage can be seen a lot of different ways. I read a story where there was a fifth grader and an eighth grader on the grounds of school one day arguing with each other. And the eighth grader said something to the fifth grader and that he didn't like. And he said to the fifth grader, he said, I want to tell you one thing right now. I resent the remark you made to me, and I'm going to give you 5 seconds to take it back. And the eighth grader, which is a lot bigger, said, oh, is that so? Now, suppose I don't take it back. And the fifth grader very smartly said, if you don't, just how much time do you need? Amen. Well, that's wisdom in the sight of fear. Even though you try to stand your own ground. Well, God gives us wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, what we need to do. The idea of courage when born again with faith in Christ, it should be common for you and I. But you know, Satan sideswipes us and blindsides us at times that whereas the courage we may have, we've lost because of the circumstances. And that's where the peace of God comes and brings us back to reality. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, we read these words, and I'm going to just read verse 1 and 2, and then we'll look at the others and go through the message. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Well, let's read to verse 9. I get it in context. Every place that the sole of your feet tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river of the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Then shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Watch the promises here now. He said unto Joshua, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide the inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now watch, these first six verses is everything God said, I've done for you. Here's what it is. Here's what the dam donors are. Here's what I promised Moses. I want you to know you're going to be the one I'm going to carry Israel right into the land. But then notice, only, watch, he puts a condition here, the only way this will work. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I see God promising things in the Old Testament, and they do certain things to obedience to God Almighty, and he puts something on there, he also lets us know that he's made us promises, but some of those promises have a condition with it. Watch what he says now. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe, watch. And he didn't say what I'm going to tell you now, but everything that I told Moses and commanded you to observe and do. He said, observe to do according to all the law which my servant commanded thee. Look, Moses already told you what it is. I won't go, but listen, you find that and you work with that and I will bless that. Then he goes on, he said, turn not from the right or the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. You can't have it in your mouth unless you have it in your heart. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. There it is again, observe to do, not just to have knowledge, but to do. He said, according to all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, Joshua. Be confident in that what I've said and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Therefore, this condition, if it's met, you don't have a thing to worry about. Fear itself will be gone because it will be dissipated because of the promise I made to you. So God gives courage for difficult tasks. At certain times, we face fearful situations in life. And we've had some in the last few weeks that many had to do that. It's either poor health or financial problems or the loss of a loved one or uncertainty about the future. And maybe because we feel weak or inadequate for a particular task or challenge that we have before us. Whatever our fears may be, God is letting us know we must learn to face them with God's courage, not ours. We don't have it ourselves. We'll run. Sometimes, especially if it had to do with God in fear. But God says, I'll give you something that will help you stand at the moment. But you're going to have some preparation beforehand. You've got to know what my word is and hide it in your heart. And that's when I'll activate it and bring it forth when you get in these situations. Whatever fear may be, we must learn to face them with God's courage. God's word in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, regarding courage are still true for those who are living today in the 21st century. God has not changed about obeying his word all through the New Testament. We may not have to do everything he said as far as in the Old Testament, but we still have to obey. In fact, we have to do more. We have the complete word of God. They only had the law.
That's right.
So we have more. So God's word in Joshua regarding courage, verse 20, it works for us in the 21st century. Fear is the internal alarm that God's given to go off within us in some form or fashion when we're facing danger. Or when we're feeling threatened or feeling helpless to avoid or change a situation. On the other hand, courage, ladies and gentlemen, is the quality of the mind and spirit that enables us to meet danger or face opposition or the challenges of a life with fearlessness and calmness and firmness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible teaches verse here that we are to, and you know, by the way, I encourage you to mark this verse. Because it is to the church at Corinth and is a wonderful verse that God gives when he makes this statement. You know it by heart, probably. Now he says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as are common to man. So that's simply, he said, no temptation. Now that means, ladies and gentlemen, whatever I have to face, how serious it is, it's just a common thing to man. No, it isn't that we're isolated. It's just the fact it's a common thing. It doesn't seem like it though when it comes to us. It may seem common to others. When it hits us in the back door, it doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem to be that way. But he says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And he didn't say, I'll remove the temptation. He said, but I fix it so you won't be tempted above that which you're able to bear. And that's what he tells us here. He said, but with the temptation, in that temptation, he'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What an amazing thing that God has told us. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, has God given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and sound mind. That means that's what this book would give us if it hit in our heart when we face things in this world of adversity of different kind. Let me give you three quick points. Try to do it in 15 minutes. Note, first of all, if you will, Joshua's situation here. When Moses died, we just read that God gave Joshua the task of leading Israel to the promised land in verse 2. Joshua knew what a challenge he would have to be able to lead 2 men plus Israelites into enemy territories, and the enemy territory were warriors, and he had nothing but a bunch of sheep herders. They know not one thing. They could tend sheep. They knew how to raise sheep, but they didn't know anything about battles as far as wars are concerned. And so here we see he bringing Joshua to lead these people out. He knew that the land was filled with walled cities. He knew it was filled with giants. He knew that we had well-armed soldiers there. He knew they had irons of chariot there. Israel had nothing like that. How in the world were they going to have to fight as they camped here at Jericho against this great city? It looked like an impossible task. And Israel began to wonder, had God brought them out there to destroy them? And Joshua, remember how God fought for his people, defeating the Egyptian army around the Red Sea. And Joshua's situation before Jericho is seen in chapter 5. If you turn there over there with me just a minute, look with me in chapter 5. And let's look at what happened just a moment. In chapter 5, verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. Now, I think Joshua was out there contemplating this thing. They were camped around the city of Jericho now. And I don't think he was out there contemplating this thing. How in the world and we're going to get over those walls? I wouldn't go into how big they were. They were outstanding walls. And he said that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, now I wonder why he did that. I mean, he saw a man with a sword drawn, and some people don't have swords drawn without using them. And yet when he saw him, he wasn't afraid one bit. He went to him. I think I'd have went the other way. I had some distance, wouldn't you? But he went to him, and he asked the question, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Notice it says the captain of the host of the Lord. And he fell and worshiped him. If I may, I'll have time. If you go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, you'll find that the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is our captain. That means he's the headship. That means he is the one at this time who is the leadership into that new territory. In our case, it's a new life with God through Jesus Christ. In this case, he was going to show their victory here, but it wouldn't be like they thought it would be. And here it amazes me. I believe this no lower was somehow or another the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In close, to tell what had happened. And he said to them, he fell in worship. And the captain of the host, and the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. That's one reason I think that it is Christ too. God spoke with a bush, and Moses had to take his shoes off, and evidently Christ spoke directly to him at this time and let him know. Now, what's going to happen? Well, we'll really look in chapter 6 in just a few minutes and what he told him to do. When Moses died, and of course, you see, God, the second thing I want you to see is God's basis for his courage. What is the basis for Joshua's courage? Because he's got 2 million people? That don't mean a thing if you don't have weapons of arsenal or arsenal of war. If you look at it in verse 5, God promised Joshua was the basis for his courage. He said, "Thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee." What a promise. And yet he put a condition on it. When you get down to verse 7. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I remember in Hebrews chapter 13 and what, verse 5? "I will never leave thee, forsake thee." And verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever." We have the same promise, you'll say, if you're born again. And you can prove. But you know what? The condition of that, what Jesus said, you have to know him as Savior. You have to believe on him. You have to receive Christ as Savior. Condition, what Josh is going to have to do is believe what God says about taking the city of Jericho. It may not sound right. The world says, "Hey, blood stuff, they deny Christ." Well, look what God told Joshua to do. He didn't say, "Just stand in front of those walls and I'll cause something to happen." He said, "What I want you to do," and of course we know that he set up a system and watched around. We'll look at that in just a few moments. And so he goes on, and he looked, "God is with us in all that we have to face in life," and I see that not only in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. So instead of looking around the circumstances, we should look up to the Lord who is always faithful, and he helped us with our circumstances in life. We should not let Satan deceive us about God's blessing. Now, Joshua had a responsibility. Not only did he say in 6 verses that what he was going to do, but then he came back and said, "Joshua, you've got a responsibility." And he says in verse 7, "that thou mayest observe to do out of that which you know that I give Moses, and therefore I'll give you this instruction to take them over, but you're going to have to do exactly what Moses had to do." That's, what is that? Observe what I said and obey me. And he says that twice in these few verses. It's interesting. Now, God did not give Joshua a war plan for victory. His success would only come by keeping his eyes on God, doing exactly what God commanded him, even though it seemed foolish. There's no natural strength here without obedience. You do not pick passages of Scripture to believe and obey and then ignore what God says elsewhere. It don't work that way. And so now I see God's basis for courage is doing exactly what he commanded him to do. Now look in verse 8. This is the key, 8 and 9, to the courage that he had in success. And I believe a key for us to look at in the age of grace. It's not the same thing as he had, but the same Satan. And what destroyed Satan's power there can destroy Satan's power in our particular day. I want you to notice what he says daily. Notice about what they should do. "This book of the law shall not part out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do." You get in there. In other words, God's meditation in God, we have a meditation in God's word by reading it, by studying it, by believing it, by absorbing it, and as we absorb it, obeying it, and then by obedience, we're putting it applicable in what God said do. It isn't just he tells us and it puffs our mind and we do nothing. And the same things principle in the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen. But we like sometimes the knowledge, but I'll cut it out if I don't like it. And that doesn't work that way. He either we do it or we don't do it. Or if not, we get puffed up. And really, Satan can damage a child of God that way. So here, I understand. Only here can you accomplish 1 Thessalonians 5:18, when Paul said, "In all things, watch, in all things give thanks for... this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you." He didn't say give thanks for all things. He said give thanks in all things. In other words, he said there's some things you at the time you won't cease to give. It hurts so bad you don't think about giving God thanks. But in the results, you'll realize that if God saw fit to allow that to come, and it had to, that's what 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 tells. If he allows that to come, then he wants us to understand that the permission of that to our lives should be that we would trust him even more for that. Give thanks in that thing. Why? Because the end result's going to be the best. And I've said that a number of times, and that's when I've got this all through the Scriptures. College courses and degrees may claim to make us prosper, but nothing can compare to God's path for success. Romans 12:1. You know that? "I beseech you, therefore, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service," he tells us to do. How do you do it? Be conformed not to this world, be detached. I've quoted that many times in my life, and will quote it many times more because they're important verses. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and perfect will of God. And so that's sure for us even now. So here we acknowledge that we need his help because we're not smart enough, we're not strong enough, that whereas we in turn to direct our lives in according to his will and his plan. Those men that give their heads in the Middle East will never blame God for that. Their families may not understand it, but they never blame God for that. Because at the moment they gave their head, the end results came that they saw it's better than what they had before. Amen. It's hard to say that this side of that destiny. It's hard to understand we don't know what's there to hear two people. All they had to do, recant their faith, and in turn would live to show disruption of what God was doing, to show dishonor to God Almighty. And yet they refuse to do that. And the world looks at it, well, I don't see why they'd go that far for the religion. They must be really some good people. No, they just knew who their Savior was. And they knew to believe him and trust him. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope we come to that place, if God will allow us to go that far, that we would do the same thing. But the fear may collapse it. You've got to have more than just head knowledge. That's where he said observe and then do. We looked at the Bible study tonight and pick up a little more about that, how to study the Bible. And so here we see this. Note the latter part of verse 8 in chapter 1 of Joshua, he said, observe to do. Obedience is always important because God's method will not seem always reasonable. Do you hear what I said? His ways are not our ways. It will not always seem reasonable, but I'll tell you this, it's trustworthy. Because God's word is real, and it's honest, and it's open, and it is true. And so when the people approached Jericho, the Lord gave Joshua a very strange strategy. And you know, as you look in chapter 6, you see that in the first few verses. He told them to start with that they were to march around the city, men of war in verse 3, and go around the city, and thou shalt do that 6 days. And here's how you do it. 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumps of rams and horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the horns. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down in the pier. And the people shall descend up every man straight before them. So that means to me that these millions of people, a couple million people, walking around that huge city. No telling how many breaths it was. He said, here's how the priests will be, how the horns and the ram's horns and the trumpets will be, and here's what you do. First day, you just walk around it. And how did they do that? Well, I don't know if they reached all the bait. I know this. They started, and they went around and came back where they started at. That's a complete circle. And then the next day, they didn't do nothing. Just camped out a little bit. Next morning, they got up again and marched around. Now, can you imagine what those Jericho people were doing sitting on that wall? What kind of mess is this? We're not going to have a bit of trouble. They're going to attack us. We don't just wipe them off and all. They felt they were fortified in the city. Those walls were big, high, thick. You just didn't go through them. You had to go over them or go through a gate. Then get around the 6th day. They sat there 6 days or stood and saw that happen. And then on the 7th day, they got up early and did it 7 times. And it took a long time for them to get around that number of people, I guarantee you. But then the 7th day, there came the blowing of the ram's horn. There came the blowing of the temple. And everywhere they were at, standing breast towards Jericho walls now, here in just a moment, when the trumpet sounded, those people shouted, 2 million plus, out some type of word. And you know what happened? Those walls fell flat down. That's what the Bible says. And by the way, I believe they fell outward. I think a lot of the warriors got killed when it fell. But I believe they fell outward so they could not say that Israel pushed them inward. And you know what happened? They went abreast and they took the city, ladies and gentlemen. What a mean, you call this war? Who in the world has ever seen a war like that? God, didn't he say, I'm going to fight the battle for you, though? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, every time God delivers us, even through the edge of death, he's fought the battle with us. You know that? I thank God Almighty. Today, we must focus on meditation of God's Word, reading it, studying it, believing it, absorbing it, and obeying God with it, then move forward in obedience. I heard a wonderful testimony this week. This couple had been married a number of years. The family had grown. The husband had cancer and couldn't beat it. They'd give him up, and he'd been a few days with a deaf breath. His family was there, but this time the wife was sitting there beside the bed. And she was kind of watching him and then reading or doing a little something, according to the story went. And I believe this, because these were godly people. These people weren't people that played church. They were in every service Sunday morning, Sunday night, according to what the story was. On Wednesday night, they were every time. They didn't hit and miss, and you know, something else in the world is more than important than what church is. They were right there. And the pastor reported the fact that it was just a wonderful time, according to the history of their life before this happened. And said, all of a sudden, just like that, he quit breathing hard, started breathing normal, kind of raised up in the bed and turned to his wife and said, well, hey, started talking to her. And she said, Ellie, are you doing all right? He said, yeah. He said, you know what I've been doing? She said, no, honey, what have you been doing? This is the very words they taught now. The thing that's sitting there, she knew what she was talking about. What have you been doing? He said, I've been talking to Jesus. She said, you have? He said, yeah. And she said, well, please tell me what he said. And so help me, this is what she said he said. He told me and called my name, I've come to take you home. And said he lay back down with a smile on his face, and within 10 minutes he was dead. That's the result I'm talking about, folks. Whatever we face, whatever we have to go through, there's one that's greater and bigger. You may not see him in the sense of the way the world looks at him, but he will take his word and enlarge it in our heart and mind that we'll have more than just something to say in fantasy words that are the word of God. And God himself keeps his promises. And that's when he tells us this book is important for us to study and meditate upon it and do the things and apply it to our life. But you can't just, listen to me, you can't just observe it and then apply it. And I won't go no further there. Because if you observe it and apply it, you don't know what it says, so therefore you may do anything. There's a sequence of studying that you may get to the point that you observe to start with to decide what to do so you know how to apply it. And that's what Bible study does. Our minds, our hearts are like a blender. What you put into it is going to come out. This week we just made some ice cream a couple weeks ago. Did you know if you put milk and ice cream in a blender, you got a milkshake? How many believes that? And if you put enough sugar in it, it's going to be good. But also you put water and mud, and you put water and dirt in it, and you got mud. The blender would do the same thing, but what's in it is what changes it, what makes it good or makes it bad. And that's what God is talking about us. What's in us is greater than he that's in the world. And the world feeds us from outside in what they want us to know. But God feeds us, if you're born again, and that's the only way you can get the Holy Spirit, inside out, what he wants us to know. And he says that when that time comes, I don't know what's locked for us. I know this. Ladies and gentlemen, something's got to be done because the church, I'm going off the scene, and many of you will be off the scene. But before long, this church is going through things. Not this church, but the church, the body of Christ, is going to go through some things that's going to be horrible before the Lord takes us out of here. But the day will come, he'll say, that's enough. And he'll come back, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall raise first, then we which are alive will be changed and meet the Lord in the air. You believe that? Absolutely. Why would you believe that? Because God said it. How do you know God said it? He bears witness. I believe this is his precious book. I believe it's his word. I believe as much so we have the Word of God, more so than what Moses had and what God told Joshua that he would have to do to Moses. May I show you one other verse of Scripture and then we'll close. I want you to notice with me, if you will. Look me in Joshua chapter 11, and I close with this thought. I'm talking about God gives courage for difficult tasks, ladies and gentlemen. Your task may be different than mine, but there's courage there. That's the reason we run to Him. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. The Holy Spirit bears witness, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit draws us, not only to be saved, but to Him when time comes. But notice what it says in verse 15, and the Lord commanded Moses, His servant. So did Moses command Joshua. Isn't that interesting? God commanded Moses, but Moses commanded Joshua. And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. That's the reason why we don't need a new revelation today. We have a book here that God has laid out for us, and everybody can read the same way. The only thing about it is people trying to read it because they can read it, but they can't understand it because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. So what has happened today, what God said was that Joshua listened to what God told Moses, studied the writing, studied everything that was said there. God didn't rehearse it in his mind verbally. He gave it to him that he had it, and if he obeyed that, God would reveal it to him exactly what he needed to be done. And he says, so Joshua, he left nothing. We can't say that. There's some things we don't know enough, I guess, to know what we did or not. But he left nothing undone that the Lord commanded Moses. No wonder he was victorious. I'm afraid we're going to have a lot to give account to one day. But until that day comes, may God help us to understand everything we face. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. I'm there with you. I'll undergird you, but you're going to have to observe what I've said and be sure that you do what I say as the Word of God. That's the only condition I have. This is what I promise you, but it's under the promise that you do what I say do as near as you can do. Father in heaven, thank you again for the precious Word of God. Help your people together as we face adversity in this life. Lord, let's face it. There are so many things happening now. If we could see what you see, we would have fear for things. We see a little bit, but behind the scenes, Lord, you're always fighting with Satan. You're fighting with his demons, and you're trying to encourage your people through the written Word of God to study it. And Lord, we come short so much because we don't know so much. But Lord, help us not do away what we do know. Help us not rebel against something. Be surprised if people say, well, I ain't going to do that. Bless God, I believe so. True. You can believe what we want to believe. But it's not according to the Word of God. We will get an account. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. A man will reap what he sows. That's a promise of God. Help someone today see Christ as their Savior. Help someone who's maybe burdened, who's under a problem, in a problem now, Lord. Know that you're there. Or who may be in a problem a week from now, or who just come out of a problem, rejoice at the fact they see the end results of it. We thank you, Lord, to know that you're there. That's the only thing that really matters. And we know you're able, and you can do beyond anything we can think or imagine. Please give us that encouragement as we not only observe and study and meditate, as you told Joshua to do, on the Word of God, to know the voice of God when we'd hear it, and then help us apply it, Lord. The weakness of the flesh hinders us, but help us apply it. Help someone do that today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.